Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Where you stand on the Phils after a tremendous weekend. Also, the Sixers, a couple days removed, obviously, from them being eliminated. We'll get to the, borderline explosive audio from Mike the other day. Strong in his opinion that he thought the town was basically soft on the 76ers when they went out. We'll get to that audio coming up in a moment. Stallworth right now. Good morning, Stallworth.
Yo, what's up, Hammer? What's going on, brother?
Hey, buddy. Great.
Stallworth.
Always great.
Forever.
Always great hearing from you.
Listen, man, I've been working hard, so I've been listening every day like I always do, but just haven't been able to call in a minute. But it's good to hear all of y'all voices, man, and just doing a great job with the show as usual. So congratulations to all of y'all, man. The morning show is still awesome like it's always been. So
thanks,
congrats,
man.
To all of you guys.
Thank you, buddy.
It's great to hear you, man. It really has been too long.
Listen, Darryl, my bad, man. I've been meaning to call in, but I'm a truck driver now, so I've just been, like, working, hard. So it's hard to call in sometimes, man. But it's good hearing y'all, seriously. And the next time I have a remote, I'm there for sure. I just so felt that I'm going to do that.
Well, hold on. We're going to find out if you're a man of your word, Stallworth. Friday at Borgata. You going down to AC? I mean, you said the next one. That's the next one.
I'm there. I'm taking a day off. I'm there. I'm not driving any loads that day. I will come there.
Look,
Friday,
if you want to wait till we're closer, you can. All right? We won't hold you to it. All right, Stallworth, what do you got on the Sixers, man? Talk to us.
All right, so, look, the Sixers, this is my thing on the Sixers. I was angry, but it wasn't because of the season. It's because of the culmination of the last 10 years. I've been looking at this team, and not just Embiid. What I'm angry about is the team didn't recognize, I think, early enough that Embiid is just not a player that you can actually build around in the sense of you can rely on him in the playoffs. Whether it's injuries, whether it's quitting like he did last year with Harden to the point where Doris Burke had to call him out on national television to go, why are you guys walking up the floor when it's time left in this game to win? We just know he's not that guy that you can look to and go, oh, he's going to raise his level of play in the playoffs. He's a fantastic talent in the regular season. We all know that. But in playoff time, you can't rely on him. Whether it's he's got a stomach ache or he's got a headache or he's got a knee or he's got – there's always going to be something with this guy you can't rely on.
Stallworth, it is so pronounced. Like what you're talking about, not being able to rely on Joel, I can't believe he didn't jump at the start of game six. The last game that they played this season, the start of the game, you jump it. He didn't leave the ground.
Do you think he was already conserving? I mean, I'm being serious.
Yes.
He probably was, right?
At the start of the game.
Yeah.
Well, but
you haven't even moved.
But
the game has not even begun. The very first thing you do is just jump.
But, John, it could show you how much.
The very first thing. He just didn't show up and do the thing that you need to do to start playing basketball.
But it could show you how much he was actually injured.
I think that you are allowing this to be a lot bigger than what it is. Like,
I think he was really hurt, man.
And
I was really proud of Joel.
I guess we'll find out if he goes and plays in the Olympics and there's not more that needs to be done to, like, fix things and let it heal and rehab and all that stuff?
I mean, to be fair, the Olympics aren't for, like, another 3 months or so. So, I mean,
and
that's...
And I want him to play in the Olympics. Like, I am one... Like, I'm at the point now where it's, like, he should just play as much as possible, and there is no rhyme or reason as to whether he's going to be hurt or not. Like, you can't predict this stuff. Just get him out there, get him as much experience and reps and time with his teammates as possible, and you're going to just have to take the injuries as... Come as they may.
Yeah. All right, Stallworth, give me an answer, man. Something from the 90s doesn't get enough pub anymore.
All right, I'm definitely going to give you that. But before I give you that, I know you got to get me off. Hammer, do you remember when Richie said about the Sixers, yay, way to go for not quitting? That shows you the type of mentality that they should have that they don't have. Like, Richie would never have quit.
Well,
you understand what I mean? Like,
right.
It's not fathomable for him to be like, oh, I'm going to. I'm going to show. Of course, I'm going to show.
Yeah, your
up and
point
do
is that should be a given. Like, maximum
right.
effort shouldn't be applauded. It should be expected.
Yes,
totally.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
So my '90s reference is this guy ruled the world in the '90s. MC Hammer.
Hammer. All right. Interesting answer. This is he a little forgotten by history?
It wasn't a commercial, like a national commercial, within the past couple of years, which was kind of pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hammer.
I'm torn on that one. I don't know. Ben,
Oakland A's bat boy.
Yep.
Was he really?
Yeah.
MC Hammer, yes.
Was that before Maguire and Canseco? Well, it has to be, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It has to be before those guys.
Isn't that cool, though?
That is cool.
That's pretty neat.
That's good stuff. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is your Corvette headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com to see Armin's selection of new and pre-owned Corvettes. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question, with the Phillies in the rotation and the decision that Rob Thompson made over the weekend, we'll ask you this question. Of the following three pitchers, Christopher Sanchez, Spencer Turnbull, and Taijuan Walker, which two should be in the Phillies rotation? As it turns out, the Phillies are going with Sanchez and Taijuan, but who should they have gone with? We got four choices here. Choice A, Sanchez and Turnbull. Choice B, Sanchez and Taijuan. Choice C, Turnbull and Taijuan. And choice D, actually use them all three. Use a six-man rotation. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. You know, all these topics we're discussing today, primarily the Sixers, the end of the season, and the Phils, as they really I'll say this about the Phils. Great time for them to be hot coming out of the demise of a Sixer season. I mean, you want to talk about timing it up well, where they're about to – and they really already have picked up the baton, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a tremendous – I mean, James – they are in the best spot right now they've been in since 2011.
Yep. And to your point, as perfect a time for it as it could be, yes. from a city interest perspective.
And what the caller said earlier, like, they really could start cranking up sellouts every night. Like, that's not an impossibility. And what that represents both as a source of home field advantage and, I think, civic pride. I mean, I remember those years when the Phillies were sold out for about two straight years. I mean, I swelled with pride as a Philadelphia knowing that we had that level of a team, but also that level of commitment from the fan base.
It was also more than that. It was like the cool thing to do.
Yes.
Like if my buddy called up and said, I got Phillies tickets for night, like I would drop everything that I had going on to go to that game because there was no cooler place during the summer to be than Citizens
You're
Bank
right.
Park.
No,
I
that's
know.
Exactly
yeah.
right. All right, so all of that on the table. Let's also put the Ike thing on the table. So Friday after our show, Ike felt, I mean, you're going to hear him in his own words, but I'll just say this. He felt that too many people were soft on the Sixers and giving them either a pass or just kind of a pat on the back for a good effort, but another early season playoff exit. In his own words, let's listen to as Ike cranked it up the other day.
This nonsense about congratulate them, pat them on the back for trying last night. They were favored in this series. They were favored going into this series. Favorites. We lost to a 6-foot guard with a bunch of second round draft picks. And we supposedly got two top 20 players on this team. We supposedly got a coach who knows what the hell he's supposed to do. And it's supposed to be an upgrade, but somehow we lose to the Knicks on our home court on game 6. And everybody I'm seeing is talking about pacifying this damn team. Are you guys kidding me?
All right, so Ike is, you know, in the words of Al Pacino, he's just getting warmed up because Ike, he continues on.
This isn't about Joel Embiid needs to go. This ain't about Tyrese Maxey. This is about us demanding higher performances from this team and stop making excuses. I've been one of the top excuse makers for Joel Embiid his entire career. This nonsense has to end. Daryl Morey, your ass is on the clock to get this team right. I don't care about them losing to the stinking New York Knicks in a valiant effort. They should have beat this team. I got a player that can score 50 points, 46 points, and 39 points, but somehow a six-foot guard scored 40 straight points in three games. He averaged 40 points on our home court, and we couldn't figure out how to win this game. Enough of this nonsense.
I mean, this is an all-timer by Ike here. It really is.
Think about what he's saying. Think about what Joel did. Joel came out and guaranteed a win. Like, Joel came out and guaranteed a series win.
Well, to be fair,
he didn't
use the word guarantee,
okay,
just to be fair.
You're right.
But he said they would win.
He said, we're the better team. Yeah. We're going to win this series.
That's right.
I've never heard Joel say anything like that. He came out and essentially felt so certain that he was willing to go there, and then the bottom fell out.
Well, so to me, the bottom fell out before that from this standpoint. Where did they lose the series? I think they lost the series in the first two games in New York. I really do. Like, I thought they lost the series in games 1, 2, and 4 when he couldn't finish the game. But look, I also think they lost the series 6, 7, 8 years ago when they made 10 different bad decisions. I mean,
could say they lost the series when they decided to let Joel keep wearing the gigantic reconstruction knee brace.
Well, I mean, look, we could play this game all day. You could say they lost the series when James Harden decided not to play for the Sixers this year. You could say they lost the series when Joel Embiid got injured in whenever he got injured, February.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say they lost the series when they decided not to trade Tobias Harris in order to have cap space for the summer.
Yeah.
Seltzer, when did they lose the series?
When Buddy Hield,
right, right. I don't know. I mean, all right, by the way, Ike's not done. One final salvo for Mike.
Give me a break. We got a 7-2 man who can't be guarded, and we got another guy who's a top 20 point guard or shooting guard in this league, and somehow we got a championship head coach, and somehow we couldn't figure out how to beat Tom Thibodeau in the 90s Knicks. We couldn't figure out how to beat him. You guys want to give me a bunch of pat on the back. Good job, my ass.
All right, so look, strong stuff from Mike right there.
I think
Ben,
he was mad at Spike and Jack.
He's probably frustrated. Yeah. Ben, what do you make of it?
Did he say anything that wasn't true?
No, everything.
It was
no.
It was so spot on. I was listening the other day.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, that was spot on. Nothing he said wasn't true.
So I agree with you, but I'll also say this. Joel's out there because, you know, he's taking a bite out of Joel. Two things where I'll stick up for Joel. Number one, I think he was legitimately hurt. Number two, he had a horrendous supporting cast. I mean, guys, there were two players in the starting lineup that scored 0 points in game 6. 0 points from two guys. It would be bad enough if one guy scored nothing. Two guys, not in the rotation, top 8 or 9 guys, two guys in the starting lineup helped Joel to the tune of 0 points and 0 points.
Oh, and his
and
backup,
I'm supposed to get mad at
Joel? Also had 0 points. B-ball Paul.
Oh, and that guy is just, I mean, I'm so done with that guy.
Yeah. How do you get one guy to score 19 points in game 5 and 0 in game 6? How does that happen?
Because he actually played.
It's almost physically impossible.
He played above his head one time and played at his head most of the time.
Like, I'm at a loss for words for that.
Well, I hear you.
19 points and then 0 points.
No, I get it. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. You can react to what Ike put out there. Do you think the town was soft on the Sixers, easy on the Sixers, attaboy on the Sixers for a valiant effort, but just not enough results? Where do you stand on that? I mean, Ike made himself very clear, obviously. Let's go to Mike Holm from West Philadelphia. Plus, everything with the Phillies on the table as well. Good morning, Mike.
How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Mike.
Hey, listen. I don't think it's that people giving the Sixers a pat on the back. You know what I mean? But like you just gave up those stats. Tobias Harris, you know what I mean? He gave less than James Harden did last year.
That's right.
I mean, it's like if he would have scored 6 points, they'd win that game. And plus, you know what I mean? Like you said, we lost it in the first two games. If they would have called that foul on Tyrese Maxey, it could have been a 2-2. They won't have to come from a 3-1 deficit. And, like,
I'm not going to blame Joel. He took, he was on one leg. And John, you keep saying he nervous about that brace because you had it. You play a game where you play 5 seconds of snap one time a week. He playing both sides of the court, defense, offense, and you complaining. You can't see that he was laboring. I understand it always happened every year, but you shouldn't be so angry at that. You can see it. His worst game, he gave you a triple-double. Come on, this is like the time. I understand it always happens every year.
Mike, there were moments, like in game six, in the first quarter, 6 minutes in, where he was called for a foul, an offensive charging foul, instead of landing and wincing when he jumped, he has his arms outstretched and he's emoting to the official, and he's over the top, and there's over the top emoting to the official. There's so much anxiety, like anger coming out, but there's no pain. There's no limp. There's no hurt, Joel. There is angry, Joel. I believe Joel, his mindset needed to be in a better space for us to win this series. We did not have a chance because of the way they brought him back, the way they allowed him 2.5 months.
Well, Mike, I'll say this. I don't disagree with John that he could probably do a better job blocking it out, okay? I'll give John that. But I'll give this side of it more. He was actually injured. I was impressed with how he dragged the Sixers to a game six by dragging his freaking leg.
Well, what about
not
when
to mention
limp,
his
Joe?
Face?
What about when he didn't limp? When he was invested and he didn't play like he was hurt. There were times where he was magnificent and there was no hitch in his giddy up.
I don't know the answer to that. I understand your point. It's a fair question. Mike, give me an answer here. Something from the 90s doesn't get enough discussion.
Don't fit, must quit.
Oh, that gets more than enough discussion. That gets a ton of discussion. 215-592-9494. Coming up, the shortstop issue the Phillies got to solve. It wasn't an issue until Trey Turner got hurt. Now they got a couple different options. What to do there? Will it be an affront to Trey Turner if they move Bryson Stott there? Meaning, if they move him there and he plays well, what do they do in 6 weeks when Trey Turner's ready to come back? We'll get into that, plus more on the Sixers and their demise. Jimmy Butler weighed in over the weekend. All of it on the table on 94 WIP.
We have big news from Window Nation. It is their semi-annual sale now through May 31st, and it's a really, really big deal. For a limited time only, Window Nation is celebrating by giving you 50% off all windows, along with 0% interest for 5 years, plus an additional savings offer when you schedule an appointment now.
Take a look at your old windows. Do they leak water? Can you see condensation? Are they moldy or rotten? Hold your hand to the windows. Do they get hot to the touch? If so, that's costing you big time on utility bills. And with Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a ton right now.
Hurry, this month only, get 50% off all windows plus.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Well, I'll tell you this, and good morning, by the way. With the Sixers eliminated, Flyers obviously eliminated a couple weeks prior to that, when it looked like they were going to make the playoffs and did not. Sixers, who typically go, you know, somewhat deeper than they did. Phillies are picking a great time to have a great year. Their best season since 2011. And obviously now with Trey out, you know, Bryce Harper, you'd hope he'd pick it up even more at the plate. Because he's been, you know, he's been fine this year at the plate, but not exceptional. Trey had been exceptional. By the way, Alec Bohm. God bless you, my man. 18 freaking game hitting streak. 18 games. He's hitting close to 500 in that stretch. It's absolutely unbelievable.
OPS over 1,000 for the season.
Incredible job by Alec. I mean, he is a legitimate MVP candidate right now. Unfortunately, Ben, they just lost a legitimate MVP candidate in Trey Turner. Mm-hmm. And he's out long enough now where he's not going to be able to get that back. So what to do at shortstop? Let's get into it here. So, sounds like they're open to moving Bryson Stott there selectively from time to time. Sosa, you know, can do it. To move Stott there or not, what do you think?
I just need somebody there that can catch the baseball.
Well, both guys
make
can.
The fundamental play. That's all I'm asking for.
So, should they move Stott there?
No.
See, why?
No. Because I think Sosa is a better shortstop than he is third baseman. That's his given position.
Yeah, but what about second base for Sosa? What about Whit Merrifield? Like, here's where I'm at. I wonder how much. Yeah, I'm gonna limit from The Sopranos.
Where did he get the effrontery?
I wonder. In the mix of this, are the Phillies mulling how Trey Turner will take it if Bryson Stott is moved to short and does what I expect he would do, which is play better than Trey Turner at short?
That's what I think they're scared of.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But my point is, don't hold – like, all right, James, what should they do, and to what extent is Trey Turner's feelings and contract a factor here?
They should move Bryson Stott to shortstop and play Whit Merrifield at second base. This is easy. This is clear. Whit Merrifield's a second baseman. You actually have a ready-made guy who's an everyday player.
I agree.
Like, this is a no-brainer.
So what happens in a month?
You move Stott back to second base.
Even if he's better?
Even if he's better. We all know he's better right now. He's better. We can all say that.
Well,
like, yes, I think you move him back when Turner comes back.
Before I say he's
well,
better.
Remember, we saw it 2 years ago. He was their shortstop when they got to Game 6 of the World Series.
Okay, I mean, we have playing second base an awful lot since.
It Look, it's just throw up a shortstop. I think he'll be able to adjust pretty quickly back to the position he played his whole life.
It is a fascinating locker room conundrum.
I mean, don't even think it is. I think it's unbelievable that we have Merrifield in place.
No, but John, my point.
The best laid plans.
The reason it's a conundrum is, like, they haven't come out and just said, all right, well, fine. Then Bryson Stott plays short. Like, boom. Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, I don't think they have to. They're probably just assuming that's the way it's going to go.
I don't know.
Well, apparently it had to do with work. Apparently it had to do with the rain. They wanted to get Stott out to get him work at shortstop the last 2 days, but they couldn't because of all the rain. They said they expect to do it tonight. Even if they can't, he said he might just put him at short even without getting
Let me put it this way. I think I'm less interested as a fascinating thing of whether they'll play Bryson Stott this week at shortstop. I'm more interested what happens in 6 weeks when Trey Turner's ready to come back. That's where it gets sticky. Because if Bryson Stott does what I expect him to do and play better than Trey Turner at shortstop, what do you do in 6 weeks? And by the way, for those that don't know, I think it's pretty well understood. Shortstop's more important than second base.
Awesome shortstop, then, if that's the case.
I think that's
a bridge that you cross when you come to it.
Well, I agree with you. My point is, does that play into them approaching the bridge in the first place? That's all I'm getting at. I don't think it should. I don't think it should either.
Right.
All right, let's go to the phone. So the Sixers, obviously, their demise. I prepared something over the weekend related to the Sixers. We'll get to it in a couple minutes because it's...
Like a poem?
No.
You wrote a poem?
No. It's
you wrote a haiku about the
haiku.
Sixers, Joe?
It's 17 syllables.
A song?
Let's put it this way.
A jingle?
All right, do you remember... a lot of people don't know
little
this.
Little ditty.
The Declaration of Independence. Like it start, before it's like we hold these truths to be self-evident.
You wrote a political document about the Sixers?
There's a declaration of grievances. That the colonists put out there against the British. And they're like, all right, these grievances are why we're going to declare independence. I have what I'll call a list of grievances, just on personnel-type decisions with the Sixers. Because ultimately, I want to try to figure out which is the most egregious. And the only way I could arrive at trying to even get close to the answer, which we're going to probably put into a poll tomorrow, is figure out, I got so many, it's beyond, all right, we'll get to that in a moment. Mark in Downingtown. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Mark.
Our pleasure.
I was petrified to call in last week because of all the venom after the Sixers game. I was going to call in Friday and say that I anticipated a win, actually, and a win in the series, and I was going to call in Friday and say, you know, due to the lack of rebounding, they're never going to make it out of the second round. As it turns out, they couldn't make it out of the first round.
Sure couldn't.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
horrible.
It was really bad.
And just listening to you guys just now, I agree, Stott should be shortstop.
So what do you do in 6 weeks, Mark? You looked a guy with $260 million left on his deal and say, okay, you no longer play the position you want to play? Or do you just give it to him even if he's inferior?
I don't think that at all. In 6 weeks, and you know baseball better than I do, why can't he DH for a week or two?
Because Schwarber's your primary DH.
I know. I understand that. Yeah. But then you can see how he runs.
But that's just a short-term salute. You're just pushing it off for a week. I mean, at some point here, you got to get real and make a decision.
I got you. You're right.
Yeah.
Just put the best players on the field. Like, just let the best players be the best
players. But, John, would you look at Trey Turner and say, you're now my second baseman?
Sure.
I agree. I just don't know what the problem is. I just don't think they will.
Why is that an issue?
Because
you've been out for 6 weeks.
All right, Ben, can you explain to him why that's an issue?
Has done a great job
for a guy with a $300 million contract?
He's going to play shortstop when he comes back.
Thank you, Ben.
He's going to play shortstop when he comes back.
Is that the way it is? It just has to be?
Yeah, yes. It's guaranteed.
Why?
Yep, because it's the way it works.
Because they signed him for, 11 years to play shortstop?
10 years,
he's going to play shortstop.
I don't know, though.
I wish I could give you a better answer, but he's going to play.
But 6 weeks might change the equation. It might.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
You take the guy that gives you the best chance, and you play that guy, don't you?
I mean, that's the theory, but it doesn't always work out that way. All right, Mark, we keep talking over.
It hasn't worked out that way in right field.
So you think Trey's going to play that much better second base than he does shortstop?
I think the ball gets hit to shortstop more than second base, and I want my better defender at shortstop. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe this just sets the standard for the next 10 years. Like, it really does. It gets the job done this year, and then Bryson's the...
It's Nick Sirianni's accountability. It's dog mentality, damn it.
Sure.
All right, Mark, give me...
You can't perform, you lose your shortstop job.
Mark, give me an answer. Something from the 90s that we all know about. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say one last thing before I give my answer?
Sure.
I agree 100% with Ike Reese. He reminded me of... all the soliloquies that Morgan Freeman has in all his movies, and it was fantastic.
It was something, man. He laid it out there. All right, give me an answer here. Something from the 90s we all know of, but it's like Michael Fay getting caned on this date 30 years ago. It's kind of doesn't get as much chatter as it used to.
The music implications and mental health implications, the loss of Kurt Cobain.
That's a big answer. Kurt Cobain. I would say it does not get discussed as much anymore.
No.
Kurt Cobain. Okay, that's a real answer right there, no doubt. Speaking of answers, let's get some answers from Ray Dittinger. Because, you know, we had Ray on the show, I think it was early last week. I can't even remember the day. It might have been Friday. Actually, no, this was early last week.
No, it was
week.
Monday. Yeah. It was after the draft.
Because it was after DeGene had also been picked. And we had asked Ray about the Eagles draft. Kind of open-ended question there to just start with him and his thoughts on the draft. And Ray, definitely very, very happy with what the Eagles did in this draft. How do you perceive it? Just the big picture, Ray Dittinger, you know, draft sense of what Howie did. What'd you think?
Really good. Really, really good. I give him very high marks. I mean, to come away from this with, you know, not one, but two, I'll tell you straight up, the two cornerbacks he got were my two top cornerbacks.
Wow.
Wow.
I like Mitch. I liked on my board, I had Mitchell and DeGene over both of the Alabama kids.
Wow. That's,
I mean,
they were
cornerbacks one and two. And to come away from the draft with both of them, I thought was masterful. I really did.
So Ray, starting off there with the focus on those two, he kept it there, continuing to focusing on the corners, and specifically starting his focus as he continued on talking about Quinyon Mitchell.
Everybody was waiting to see what he would do when he went to the Senior Bowl and had to play against the best receivers. And turned out that this guy's for real. I mean, he's like for real, real.
Yes.
And then it was, okay, let's see how he goes. Let's see how he does when he goes to Indy and tests there. And he goes to Indy and runs 4.33. So after all of that, I mean, I had him penciled in to be somewhere between a 10 and a 14 pick. I mean, I thought he was going to go there. So to me, he was the guy he would have been my target if I were the Eagles. I'd say he's the best of the bunch. That's my greatest need. That's the guy I want. The problem is no way in hell I'm going to get him at 22. You know, I'm going to have to trade up, but okay, we got an extra second-round pick. Maybe we can pull that off. That's what I thought. And so, you know, so to get him a 22 and then be able to maneuver around and get DeGene in the second round, I would have taken DeGene at 22. If Mitchell was off the board, I mean, DeGene to me is a good enough prospect. I would have taken him at 22 and been happy with that. But to walk away from this with both of those guys, I mean, was a major coup for Howie.
You know, John, with what they did with those two picks, and let's not forget getting C.J. Gardner-Johnson back, it really feels like they remade this secondary tremendous fashion.
Oh, you look at the lay of the land right now, and Cooper DeGene as the nickelback, maybe. Cooper DeGene as a strong safety, maybe. As a free safety. Quinyon Mitchell maybe he's starting opposite Darius Slay, and you know, who knows when that will start, the discussion as to whether James Bradbury just forfeits his starting role to Quinyon Mitchell from the get-go or not. So much talent. And we were already talking about the length, the young cornerback length that we had to begin with Kelee Ringo and Eli Ricks. Remember, Isaiah Rogers is coming back, former sixth-round pick, but a guy who's got experience in this league. So an unbelievable amount of talented cornerbacks who have experience playing in the NFL. It's never been like that.
Well, listen, their pass defense fell apart in 2023, and a part of it is because their pass rush was like half of what it had been in 2022 when they had the 70 sacks. I think it was like roughly half the sacks. So obviously, you know, they go together. But the talent had dropped off dramatically on defense on the back end. I'm glad they attacked it. By the way, one more piece of audio from Ray, and then right back to the phones. Because, you know, I had asked Ray about, well, you got Avontae, and you got Bradbury, and you got Reed Blankenship. And with all these guys coming in, including DeGene, who can play every position, like, who's out? Who doesn't start? Who doesn't even maybe perhaps make the team? And Ray clearly had a focus on Bradbury, but acknowledged that, you know, salary might keep him around.
I can't imagine. If it isn't financial considerations, I can't imagine that Bradbury has a spot on the roster this year. I just don't know where you put him. I don't think he can play corner anymore. And I don't think, you know, at this point in his life, I don't think you're going to convert him to safety. Because among the other guys we're talking about here with the upgrades in the secondary, which are very real with these two kids coming in now, remember we have Sidney Brown coming back from an injury. And Isaiah Rogers. Yeah. Well, Sidney Brown was a guy I really liked in last year's draft, and I thought when he finally got a chance to play last year, he played really well. So I think he's going to be a future starter here at some point. I think when he's healthy and he's ready to play, I think he's going to be one of your safeties. And I think DeGene will be the other one. But as far as who's the most threatened, I would say probably, again, the money is hard for me to factor in, but I would say probably Bradberry, just based on A, last year's performance, and the fact that B, you look at Blankenship, and if nothing else, even if he's out of the starting lineup, he's a guy that's going to contribute on special teams, and you're not going to get that from Bradberry.
All right, a lot of stuff there from Ray, of course, you can react to. 215-592-9494.
Dante Maddox struggled last year, too.
He did. Well, but that's when he came back and he was still banged up.
Yeah, banged up. But, you know, that's you got so much competition going
on. You do.
Cooper DeJean, you know, the versatile guy. You know that nickel, that nickel spot, it just feels like it's custom made for a versatile guy.
Got a lot of options.
Yeah.
Got a lot of options.
But the competition is good.
It's great.
It's awesome.
Great. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
To what we were just talking about with Trey Turner and Bryson Stott, do they keep and or play someone who's inferior because of a contract? I.e. James Bradberry. I don't know.
That's not what gives you the best team.
I mean,
that is not a good approach.
I'm just telling you, it's the kind of thing they could choose to do, whether they should or shouldn't.
Wrong if they choose to do that.
I agree with you, John. I agree. All of that on the table, plus, of course, the Phillies just dominate. I mean, best record in baseball, 2.5 up on the Braves, and obviously everything a couple days removed from the Sixers' demise. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2024 Chevy Trax. It's arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. Starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, of the following three pitchers, Christopher Sanchez, Spencer Turnbull, and Taijuan Walker, which two should be in the Phillies' starting rotation? Four choices here. A, Sanchez and Turnbull. B, Sanchez and Taijuan. C, Turnbull and Taijuan. D, actually use a six-man rotation and use all three. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's get to Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Hey, it's a beautiful day in South Florida. Thanks for taking my call.
Wow.
Well,
hi, Mike.
I'll say this, Mr. South Florida guy. It's starting to look a little bit better outside.
All right.
Well, all right. I want you to – I know you don't give a damn. Because you're in Florida, but for everyone listening, it's clearing up a little bit in the last 10 minutes. All right, hello, Michael.
Hey, by the way, before I get to my Phillies point real quick.
It's too humid there, Mike.
God's waiting
room. Florida's too humid.
It's God's waiting room.
In May, it is beautiful.
What were you going to say, Mike? Go ahead.
Before I get to my Phillies main point real quick, thank God I can finally throw the last shovel of dirt on the process.
So I don't think you can, because I think it's going to continue. So just so you know, if you want it over, I don't think it will be over.
I think it is, but anyhow, enough about the Sixers other than the fact.
How can you think it is, Mike? We have the ability to make deals. Like, we have trade possibilities.
Joel's going to stay. Joel is the process. MB!
You got a point on that. Although my brother Richard wants to know, do you think it's wise for him to play in the Olympics?
Well, my answer will be, I'll know that answer in a couple months when we know if he's healthy as they approach
it. I think absolutely not for a guy who's continuously injured.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Mike. I'm conflicted on this one.
Okay, on to the Phillies. It's fantastic. I'm so happy they're having a great season so far.
Yep.
But when, please, dear God, will Topper let Tobias Castellanos sit for a couple of games?
Tobias Castellanos.
That's pretty awesome.
Not bad. Well, hasn't done it yet.
It is crazy. Like, give the guy a blow, man.
He's the only one on the team. It's like he's got pics of his wife or something.
It makes no sense.
A lot of silence after that comment.
Yeah, I know,
there.
Really.
It was good.
My was silence after Seltzer's comment, just to be clear.
Oh, really?
Hey, yeah, I just want to be clear. That's why I held back. But that's okay. All right, Mike, give me an answer here. Something from the 90s that we all know about, but maybe doesn't get as much talk as it used to.
How about the very, very last day of the 90s? The very last day. You guys know what was supposed to happen?
Y2K.
Y2K.
Yeah, I think it does still get discussed. On our show, it comes up a fair amount.
All
right, so speaking of things that come up, everything I'm about to say has come up on our show many times. But I got to bring it back into focus here because, you know, as you know, on Friday I said I thought the Sixers primarily lost this series to the Knicks with the disastrous decisions from 2016 to 2019, like roughly those 3 or 4 years. I just think they had so many disastrous decisions that set in motion what we saw the other day, which was a team with two players but without the third guy and obviously all these role players because you're over the cap and it's a disaster. So, You know, James, you and I were talking off the air the other day about we should put a poll together this week for which was the biggest mistake the Sixers made. So this weekend I went in the lab and I thought, all right, let me put the old thinking cap on and just start writing down the mistakes and or perceived mistakes, because not everyone will be considered a mistake by everybody, but all of them have been criticized by at least some people. Some of them are certifiable. All right, so in no particular order, here's how I wrote them down. James, we'll figure out how we put a poll together later in the week. But here's what I got for and by the way, to be clear, I don't have taking Michael Carter Williams over Greek Freak. Nobody knew Greek Freak was going to be that great. All right, so just there's some stuff like that I didn't go to. But I went pretty deep. Here are the list of things. And tell me if I'm missing anything once I get through them all. Here are the list of things I think that are all worthy of being considered for biggest mistake. All right. Or at least in the top, you know, 3 to 5. I mean, some of these things aren't going to be number one, but they all merit mention. Drafting Ben Simmons number one overall. Like, do your homework. Understand this guy is got no heart. And, like, don't pick him. If you, like, he didn't want to play in the NIT. Like, learn the DNA of this guy as a human and say, that guy's not a winner.
Brandon Ingram went second. Jaylen Brown went third.
Correct.
The next two picks were both guys who could have helped.
Correct. Drafting Okafor number three overall when it was the third straight year drafting a center. I mean, technically they traded for Nerlens, but same concept. And they literally took him over Porzingis. By the way, they also took him over Devin Booker. Drafting Markelle Fultz number one overall instead of Jason Tatum. Now, granted, they made a trade with Boston. Maybe there's the you can only get the number one pick if you agree. You have to trade for Fultz. But if that's not in writing, I can rescind. If it's not in writing, what do I get?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like if it's for the number one pick, Philadelphia 76ers. Like, again, do your homework and understand the guy's either got a shoulder issue or a head issue. And then take Tatum. All right. This is another big one. Signing Ben Simmons to a max deal. Which, remember, that's part of what jammed up their salary cap. I mean, that's part of it. Whatever that, we'd have to look up the exact years. 5 years, whatever, $150 million or something. Bowing to NBA pressure to strip power from Sam Hinkie while hiring Jerry Colangelo. I mean, disastrous. Now, I know not everyone loved Hinkie. For those that love Hinkie, some people will say that was the biggest mistake. We know Jerry Colangelo was a phony and a fraud and a farce. All right, why can I prove it? Because of the next one.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jerry Colangelo being allowed to hire his son, Brian Colangelo, as the freaking general manager.
It's so unbelievable to this day.
I mean, daddy hires son?
Especially
is that nepotism? I can't tell.
Yeah, right? Well, especially because when they brought Jerry in, we're all like, all right, as long as he doesn't bring his kid in, right? Like,
right.
We said that when they brought Jerry in, they're like, all right, as long as he doesn't bring his kid in, and then they did
and
it.
And then they did it. And then they did it. And they had this charade that they had a hiring process and interviewed all these people. Enough. All right, next one. I feel bad putting this next guy in the poll because he's such a good dude and I hope has a great future in the front office, but I don't think it was time yet when they went to him. Hiring a totally inexperienced Elton Brand as general manager when they did. I mean, they were right at a crucial moment for decisions. And it's like, all right, who's our GM? All right, Elton Brand's our GM. It's like, you kidding me?
He's been running the blue coat, so I'm sure he can handle it.
Right, like that. And again, that's not going to win this, you know. Like,
and to your point, it's not Elton's fault.
It's
anyone
not Elton's
would
fault.
Say, yes, please, I'll take the job.
Not
but
his fault at all. All right, how about this one? Hiring Doc Rivers as the head coach. I mean, so many are. All right, how about this one? Hiring Daryl Morey as the GM. Now, I would put that fairly low on the list because I think his hands have been tied without salary cap space, but he has not exactly knocked it out of the park with the limited cap space he's had. Here's another one. not
kind of a no-win situation that you walked into.
But he could have done a better job.
The choice with Halliburton way back when.
Well, I'll get to that in a moment. All right. Not signing Jimmy Butler and actually technically trading him. Like, you got to be freaking kidding me. How about this one? Signing Al Horford to a 4-year deal for about $100 million while choosing to go with what they called bully ball, like 5 years after the Warriors had established that shooting threes is the way to go and having all sorts of guards that can dominate. How about this one? Giving Tobias Harris a 5-year, $180 million max contract. Ben, you would have liked that deal back in the day. I just want to make
sure. I could have gotten away with that.
All right, how about this one? Trading for James Harden. Now, tough spot. You got Ben. Not many people want him. But trading for James Harden, which involved giving up first-round draft picks to get Harden and get rid of Ben, and it may have involved the Sixers passing on getting Tyrese Halliburton instead. May have. How about this one? Trading for freaking Tobias Harris in the first place. Was that one first-round pick or two, Seltzer?
At least one, because one was the Mikal Bridges trade. That's where they got the first-round pick from. Yeah.
Because that whole thing's
unprotected.
That set
first.
In motion a bunch of stuff. And then the last one I have, and correct me if I'm missing anything else, trading Mikal Bridges. Now, I mean, this is a list where, on its own, any three of these could have been top 10 for a decade. Guys, this was like 14 or 15 all within 4 years. This list, to me, is where they lost the other night. And, yeah, we can talk about Embiid's knee, and, yeah, we can talk about, you know, the bad luck with his knee, and, yes, we can talk about you can never count on him, and, yes, we can talk about, as John says, maybe he should have been mentally tougher. We can go round and round a million times. That, to me, is how you have two starters in a playoff game that score 0 points because you have no cap space left because you've made – 15 disastrous decisions. All right.
It all comes back to Josh Harris. It's all organizational things, decisions, the way they run their culture, the way they run their franchise, the things that they prioritize. I mean, you can all put it right back to Josh Harris.
So, look, we'll probably do more on this tomorrow just because of the fact that we do want to put this into a poll. But
Maury's speaking today, so that should be interesting.
That's right. All right. But just off the list I just read, let's just all weigh in. What do you sense is number one? Rhea, what do you sense was of all those decisions? The biggest mistake.
Because, well, you know I'm an anti-process person. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, when you have built your club on a culture of losing, you don't know how to win.
So you're saying embarking on the process.
Yeah.
Okay. I disagree because I think without that, you don't have all these assets. Seltzer, where are you? Of everything I just said, biggest mistake in this whole thing, what is it?
I mean, I'm like you. Like, but you know, the initial push out of Sam Hinkie and the Colangelo thing. Like, that was where it all started going downhill for me. But, like, I wouldn't fight with you if you said it's Tobias. I wouldn't fight with you if it's trading Bridges. Like, they're, you know, Butler, so many. But I would go with the initial get rid of Hinkie for the Colangelo.
I'm kind of inclined that it might be Fultz over Tatum. Maybe.
Could be.
All right, Ben, what's your mindset? Biggest one, I know like 5 or 6 or 7 of these could be number one. Which one strikes you as the biggest?
Let me think about it. Ben Simmons.
Drafting him?
Yeah, it's a losing player. I know he's an all-star here, but I come on, man.
What a joke.
All right, John, where are you on which of these?
Look, we're trying to get – we are potentially trying to get Jimmy Butler back. I would love to have never – you know, jettisoned Jimmy Butler. Wouldn't that be something?
Unbelievable.
Maybe we would have won a couple at this point if Jimmy stayed.
Unbelievable. Look, we'll put this into some kind of – Seltzer, good luck tomorrow figuring out how to put 14 different things into a poll.
Yeah, it's going to be –
I don't know how we do that. I wish we could actually rank them. I really do. I wish we could put out something where people would – 1 through 14. I don't know. I don't know how we do this, but I just know they're all –
You know what, Joe? You made a great point a little while ago about that third player.
Yeah.
Because look at back Miami. Yeah, obviously they had LeBron, but they would not have won without Wade and Bosch. They would not have won. And that shows you how key getting that third player here would have made the difference.
They also had Shane Battier, who was putting in good work. I mean, they had other dudes that helped them, and the Sixers just...
But that core three, Phil, I know. The Sixers don't have a core three.
No, they don't. They can, though.
That's a
this,
great point on your
this.
On your
well, I mean, first off, hold on. First off,
I'll, hammer!
You don't have to tell me. I mean, you saying that to me, I'm going to give you...
What you talking about, Willis?
This is a given, all right? Settle down. That's a given. Let's go to the phone.
Seth in Texas.
Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I didn't mean to, like, you know, depress everybody with that list. Hello, Ed.
Hey, so wanted to talk about the Philly situation, both with Stott and Turner, and also Turnbull and Walker.
Yep.
I think the discussion, and Ben knows way more about this than I do, but I think Topper or whoever makes these decisions need to kind of decide, you know, Turner and Stott, you know, can Stott play both positions at a near elite level? Yes. Can Turner play second base? If the answer to that question is no, you put Turner back at shortstop and don't think twice about it.
Well, you're right about that if he can't play it. Yeah.
Well, similarly with Walker and Turnbull, can Taiwan Walker give you innings out of the bullpen? No. They told us that by not pitching him last year in the postseason. Turnbull can give you innings out of the bullpen, so it's sort of like, well, it's kind of an indictment on Walker that, hey, you can't help us out here, but you can't please everybody, I guess.
Look, sometimes you arrive at these answers the way you are. You kind of back your way in. That's not an unreasonable way to look at it, as much as that might be annoying.
I think it'll play itself out. Both those scenarios, I think, with Walker and Sanchez and Turnbull and Stott and Turner, I think these scenarios will play themselves out.
You know what, though? Ben, let me give you a pushback on
that. Because I think that the answer is going to be so obvious that it's going to be a no-brainer.
Well, let me just throw this out. I remember in 2011, so Dutch and I were doing a show through the 2011 baseball season, and we were going through the same tug of war on Vance Worley versus Roy Oswalt. And he said to me for 6 months, or let's call it the last 4 months, once it became obvious Vance Worley was, like, pretty good, he'd be like, you know what, Joe, it's going to work itself out. These things have a way of working themselves out. And the whole year, Vance Worley pitched better than Roy Oswalt. The whole year. And in the playoffs, they gave Roy Oswalt a start instead of Vance Worley, and they lost. So, like, sometimes the work itself out thing is, you fall back on what the preconceived notion was, and you just pick the wrong guy. Like, I don't want to see them lose in the postseason because Trey Turner, you know, boots a ball at short and it costs them a series or whatever. So, I don't know. Ed, give me an answer here for something from the 90s doesn't get enough chatter.
How about those Reebok sneakers with the pumps on them?
Wow.
That's a pretty good answer right
good
there.
Good answer.
Yeah, the Reebok pump.
I had a pair.
I did too. Yeah. I had a couple
Same.
Pairs.
Same. I had the pumps for sure.
So that's the one of everything that's said today that gets the least amount of discussion.
How about Z Cavaricci's?
I've heard of that.
Oh, my God.
Remember
was that more
pants?
Of an 80s thing, though?
No,
was it was, 90s?
It was definitely 90s.
Oh, Jody Mack wore them all the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We couldn't afford them. Both my
never even
school
heard
teachers,
of that.
But yeah, they were.
I've never heard of
They were
of
like
that.
This pant. They were kind of pegged at the bottom. They had a white stripe on the zipper. Oh, they were big.
Oh, wait, were the
they
jeans?
Were, big.
Were they jeans?
No, they were like khakis and
I'm
black pants.
I'm positive we did not have those in Mechanicsburg.
Really?
I'm positive. Yeah. I never heard of that or I've never seen it.
John, when did the internet get to Mechanicsburg? 2010, the internet
it wasn't
landed.
There when
last
I was
year,
there.
Joe, last year.
All right, let's go to Justin right now in Thorndale. Hi, Justin.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Justin.
So your list is missing the real reason why we can't win, and all this blasphemy has to exist about Joel Embiid, which is driving me crazy. The biggest thing they haven't done is given Joel Embiid a competent backup or bring that backup back. We had Boban Marjanovic and Mike Muscala and Paul Reed. Nobody that can keep you on a run. And Joel Embiid sits down for 4 minutes with a 6-point lead and comes back down 8.
Disaster.
It's not Joel Embiid. The blasphemy has to stop.
Well, Andre Drummond was the best they had, and they had to freaking trade him to get rid of Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And then they didn't get him back.
They had a chance to bring him back,
I know.
And they didn't. The problem is, and just a little conspiracy, if the NBA wanted to stop the Sixers process, what better way than to force Jerry and Brian Colangelo into the front office and destroy all the fruits of the process? It just makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he crushed it. I mean, the irony, Justin, is
saying they purposefully put Colangelo in charge because they thought they would fail.
Look, I don't believe that, Justin, but I do believe they purposely put Colangelo in to end the tanking. I believe that.
And it just makes no sense to me because it's only because we're a market, right? Nobody blinked an eye at Oklahoma City just wrecking everything.
Well, it was a bad one. Listen, Justin, I was pro-tanking, But let's be real. It was a bad mark against the NBA. I mean, to have a team legitimately essential, let's not say team, to have an organization that was embarking with the intention of losing, I mean, that is not good for the league.
I don't disagree necessarily, but it is the way you improve, especially in the NBA
model. That's right.
If you're going to strap teams with a cap, and then you're going to, like another Ben Simmons point, Halliburton wouldn't have worked for Sacramento because you're only allowed to carry one rookie max contract. So if they wanted to keep any of their young kids and sign them to a max, they wouldn't have been able to carry Ben Simmons with them. Howard doesn't talk about that, but that's the truth of the situation. All of the front offices have failed. There's no question. Morey has failed also. Mo Bamba was his option behind Paul Reed for Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Also a failure. It's not Joel Embiid. It's not being able to win or not wanting it enough or not trying. The dude played with no ligaments in his knee and couldn't move half his face. The hate's got to end, man.
Justin, he had ligaments in his knee.
You understand what I mean.
I know
that's
what you
obviously
mean.
Obviously a dramatic point, but he's 7'2" and has been injured because his body fails him. And his body fails him because he has to play 35 minutes a game, 70 games a year in the regular season. If you had a competent backup that he could play 65 full games a year, let him qualify for his awards. You don't burn him through the whole regular season, that by the time the second and third round could come, he's burnt now. He's broken somewhere.
All right, Justin, give me an answer from the 90s. Needs more chatter. What do you got?
Beanie Babies.
Ooh. That's a good answer. They were a thing, dude.
So the last biggest two answers I like a lot because they're smaller topics than others that have been said but never get brought up anymore.
Yeah. And Beanie Babies, there were people who thought that they would have themselves set up for life.
There was a moment where they were worth that. Yeah. Like, it just went away, but for a moment, like, it was those things. Some of those were thousands and thousands of dollars for a little stuffed animal thing.
All right, 215-592.
Did you ever collect those?
No, that's not my thing.
My little brother had them. My little brother had them, yeah.
I have one made of me.
No way!
Oh, that's awesome.
The Padres put one out.
Nice.
That's super cool.
Davis on the back.
They had pretty neat. They'd done enough with Tony Gwynn. They said, let's have a Ben Davis then. We did Tony Gwynn the last 29 days.
Yeah, it was like Tony every day.
Let's make this the Ben Davis.
Oh, we got Tony and then a couple Trevor Hoffman days thrown in, and then,
That's when I was a prospect, not a suspect.
All right, that's good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.